Flames fans. It's a live edition of the NHL Draft Flames Unfiltered version. We're going to roll through all the picks, talk about the Nemec trade, and all that good Flames talk. I am host Brad Brood, alongside the other host, Kyle Lewis, and we do this every single week, talk Flames hockey, and two long days of draft. And I'll tell you what, when I say long, that first round, Kyle, holy cow.
Well, I fell asleep. Yeah, I mean, I did well to hang on as long as I did, but I tweeted about the production of it and my thoughts on it. And some people took me to task because they thought it was cool having all those celebrities involved or whatever. But generally, I just found it exhausting. Even having Gary Bettman announce the picks, it's like, can we just get, like, he doesn't need to do it. Let's get someone else to do it. But anyway, it was long, like you said, long and drawn out.
It just was long. I don't know. I don't like this decentralized draft. I like when the teams are there and you can watch the GMs talking. And I don't know. Yeah. There's something about that. I don't know what it is. There's just something about that. But
oh, you just feel like you're part of the experience. It's not so performative like last night was. And actually today even was better. I mean, obviously it goes quicker, which is a big plus, but the B panel, I'll call them, all due respect to those guys, like, did a pretty good job cracking some jokes, and it was a funner day today, even though it's a lot more picks to be made.
It goes quicker today, but today just seemed I don't know. I think one of my problems this year was we're not used to having that high-end draft pick, you know? So I don't usually pay attention to the high-end guys as much, and I kind of spread out who I study through the league. And this year I was just really focused on that first 10 guys. And then after that, I was just like, man, I feel lost. I just feel lost in some of these guys. And I think that's why my day two of the draft was a little bit like, where are we going with this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, like, because it was so top heavy, right? And a lot of hype around those players, obviously. It's a relatively deep draft. I wouldn't say it was exciting as last year, which is arguably could turn out to be the best draft in Flames history. Not that there's a lot of competition for that. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, overall, it was pretty cool.
Well, let's run through the picks, and there was 9 of them. We did trade one pick, and we'll get to that. Let's start it off round one. I don't know. I mean, the first round started a little bit different than what we kind of thought. I mean, I think we all saw McKenna going first, Stenberg going second, Mahaltra going third. I don't think any of us were surprised. And then Buffalo picks Daxon or Rudolph, and I'm like, okay, well, that changes things a bit for the Flames.
Yeah, that was a very surprising pick.
Well, it means that one of Bjork or Carles or Verhoeff are going to be available. And then the Rangers pick Albert Smits. And I don't know, to me, that was a little bit of a surprise.
Rattled their fan base a bit, too. I looked at some of the reactions on X. It was, they didn't love that, a lot of them.
Little bit surprised. And then pick 6 comes, and that's where the Calgary Flames come in. And who did you think they were going to take at 6? I thought Bjork was going to get the call at 6. I thought if Bjork was gone, then I think Verhoeff was going to get. I assumed from the beginning that Carson Carles would be picked by the 4 or 5 pick. I just saw him gone.
Yeah, I think most of us did. I was a little surprised he's available. I was a little bit surprised that they took him. I guess because in my head, even though they do have a lot of defensemen in their system, like, he's a different type of defenseman. And I was just so hell-bent on an impact forward. But Calgary, you know, drafting 6 was in kind of that weird spot where they may not have been a surefire player to take then, right? So I do like the pick a lot. A guy, all people talk about his leadership skills and his two-way play. And he's already talked about how he's like the perfect complement to Zane Parekh. So that's music to Flames fans' ears right there, like that alone.
Well, you know, he is a left defenseman, kind of a jack of all trades on defense. He's got scoring ability, but is also very, very strong defensively, has a little bit of grit to him, and a guy that's going to give you 20, 25 minutes a night at top end as a top end defenseman. And you know, it's kind of funny. After we drafted him and we kind of started to see how the depth chart was fitting into place, it was pretty interesting. I mean, just the future of where we're going to go on the back end if all these guys work out and things go as planned. Of course, there's so many variables. It looks pretty appealing.
Yeah, it's we've talked at length about draft capital, what that means for the Flames, and we don't usually have this problem, the ability to have so many different players at all these positions and actually be able to move some. So because of that, they were able to move around in the draft a little bit, and it made for a pretty fun and interesting day, right?
So after Carson Carroll's picked, we have a little bit of a break, and then come pick 30 of round one, the next pick Jack for the Hextall. Flames, they pick Jack Hextall, a center from the United States Hockey League, Youngstown. I've watched him a couple times play. Decent player. I like what I see. His comparables are like Andrew Kopp is kind of like one of the comparables that I've seen thrown out there. 6'1", center right wing.
I think he's got a better ceiling than Kopp. But yeah, I really like to pick a lot. I mean, we've talked at length about being really thin on center, and I've heard a lot about this guy, and I think it's going to be a good pick long term. It's going to take quite a while though before he's ready to play, but yeah, regardless, I think it's a really solid pick.
20 goals, 58 points in 59 games this year in the USHL, Youngstown. So a really good year, a really strong year. Was one of those guys that was kind of targeted in that later round of the first round, and the Flames went out and got a forward, which was much needed.
Yeah, it's again long-term project, but then there was him, and then the pick very shortly after, and we'll jump right to that as well with Chase Harrington. We got a fair amount of picks to cover, of course, but Harrington, to me, I'm a little bit more excited about him because he tends to throw the body around a lot and has a really lethal shot. Oof. I don't know where his ceiling is though, and that's what's going to be really hard to project about him. But I think in terms of a project, this is the kind of one you want to have, right?
This guy, I was super excited. Out of Spokane in the Western Hockey League, 28 goals, 57 points in 61 games. But this guy's a mean son of a bitch.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the Flames have drafted so many skilled players. You know, there's room in the lineup for guys like that. And Carroll's has a similar reputation, right? So I think we need a few guys, especially those that can actually play, as, again, we've often talked about. As Flames fans well know, you know, we have guys in the lineup who are just there for toughness but don't really contribute on the puck side of the game. So, that's an apt description for sure.
Did you see the video clip of him giving it to our first-round pick, Carson Carroll?
Did you see
him giving it to him over the bench? This guy's a competitor. This guy's a hard ass.
For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like you have to have those to be a successful team. And I think that's a characteristic that will fit well with this organization and something that this organization needs. And it'll be interesting to see how this next couple of years go for Chase Harrington and where he fits into the mix in the future for the Flames.
Yeah. Going to be interesting to see how he develops. Cause I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he could be ideally a middle six winger with a bit of jam to his game that can move up the lineup potentially, or he could be a fourth liner and may not make it at all, as we often see, but a lot of potential there, but he's going to have a interesting path, I think.
Then at pick 42, a trade button goes off and we see the trade, and Calgary moves up, gives up the 51st and 68th pick to move up to 42nd. And they select the very first goalie of the draft, Tobias Trabell, a goalie from Youngstown in the United States Hockey League.
Did you hear the story, by the way, what he had to say?
No.
So on Flames Talk, he mentioned how the Flames had advised him to tell other teams that he was being arrested to scare them away from drafting him.
I did not hear that, but yeah, I like it.
I just heard it like 10 minutes ago. It's pretty funny. So he's got a pretty good sense of humor, and obviously the Flames do too. But big goaltender, I believe he's 6'4". Excellent. 6'4". Butterfly positioning is fantastic. Again, a project, as big goaltenders often are. Sam Costello, I believe it's on today's draft show about how goaltenders often don't make it to the league for any length of time until they're about 25, which obviously is exceptions to every rule, but he's got a ways to go. But when you think about that, 7 years from now and where Dustin Wolf could be by that point, You know, we need another goalie in the pipeline, right?
Yep. Oh, I think it's good. I think it's always good. I think every draft you should pick a goalie. I mean, look at this league and how things change with goaltending and how so much can happen. It's just good to have some comfort level there. I did chuckle when I was going through his elite prospects, and his goaltender comparable was Dan Vladar. I did chuckle when I saw that. I believe is he not a backwards? Is he catches right? I believe
he does. Yes, correct. And I love that as well. And as much as you wouldn't like in a forward, that doesn't matter quite so much. But in the goaltender, it's a unique characteristic.
It's a different look, right? It's a different look. Goalie of the year in the United States Hockey League. So the first goaltender selected is the Calgary Flames, which is a little bit of a shocker to a lot of people. Then with the 55th pick,
this is gonna be fun.
yeah, do you want to go with the last name on this one?
Yeah, I've got it in front of me, and I'm still gonna mess it up. But Alan Shikislamov, and that's very close, actually, based on the phonetics that I'm looking at. It's a Russian Muslim name, just for those who are curious. But the first name Alan is just so, you know, general white middle class, and it kind of sets you up in a funny way for the last name. But he, I don't know as much about this player, to be honest, of all the guys.
That I don't either. I know nothing. He's a 17-year-old kid, played in the Russia's MHL league, 6'1", 187 pounds.
Well, you know,
skating is his strength, they say, and he slots as a bottom six forward, so we'll see.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, with a lot of these scouting reports. You look them up online, a lot of them are very, very vague. You know what I mean? Like, they'll say which way he shoots and how much he weighs, but they won't get much into his speed, how he is with the puck, does he shy away from physical play? Like, you got to dig a little bit deeper sometimes.
Skating is his strength.
46 games.
And his physical play is one of his strengths. They say he's got a motor that keeps going, and he's involved. He's involved in every bit of the game.
Toolsy is the word that I read a couple times. So good hands, good shot. Like he kind of does a bit of everything. And again, I think because we have such a dearth of high-end talent in years past, where a lot of guys are kind of overlooking the need for players like this, right?
So we'll then we move to round three, pick 65, and it happens. Many of Flames fan base get their wish, and some not, as the pick falls. Joe, right? We saw that. And Joe Aginla, right winger from Vancouver, the Western Hockey League, son of Jerome, is selected by the Calgary Flames, and it's sent. Flames Twitter was a little bit of buzz with this.
Yeah, and like, well, you just alluded to, 50, for good and 50. Bad reasons, right? Yeah, like
50-50 happy, 50-50 upset. Maybe upset that we drafted him, but maybe that we drafted him this early because he wasn't projected to like late rounds.
Well, when you watch him play, you can see some of the similarities. The funniest thing he does is every time he scores a goal, he puts his glove to his face the exact same way his father would, right? So I noticed that, but I mean, he has some similarities in how he plays the game, but to do it as well and with the same level of intensity is kind of the challenge. And it's always, so if you and I were talking, right, like you could scout North Dakota the same way I can scout Moncton, right? You actually go to games on a relatively consistent basis and get a much better idea than you ever could from all the video in the world or from what other people have to say. So what I was reading about guys who'd gone to Edmonton Oil Kings games is that he's a moody player. He disappears to stretches. He doesn't have a great work ethic. And all of those things, I believe, can be worked on. So as much as I said prior picks were a project, this is absolutely a project. And I have no idea where it's going to wind up. Whereas with the other players, I'd like to think I can project it at least a little bit. But with Joe Aginla, it's a great story. And as I said to you before we came on, the Flames can afford to throw a pick away. So it's not really that upsetting. But it's a little curious that they did it as early as they did, based on what, you know, all the scouts are saying.
I'm not upset that they picked him. I'm not at all. I question a little bit where they picked him, but like I also told you, you know, after the second round, I feel like it's throwing darts anyways. So I'm not, you know, like upset about it. I will say though that, like, without coming off to be an ass,
You may anyway, but go ahead, indulge us.
Which is frequent for me.
I feel
like I'm tired of feel good. Like I'm tired of this fan base wanting so many feel good stories. Like I'm fine with drafting again. Like just, I mean, good grief. Like the fun we had with his father and the excitement that he brought us, you know, this is fine. And if somehow we could replicate it in just even a minor way, it'd be a dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, but if he could play the way his father did with 15 goals, I mean, that would be cool for a third round pick, right?
Yeah, but this whole draft, we saw so much of the fan base just clamoring to get both the Ruck twins because it would be a good story. And it's like, yeah, it's a good story if it works. Will the Ruck twins turn out to be the Sedins? I doubt it.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't. Let's be honest. I doubt it. Like the mathematical odds of it are, I doubt it. Would it be cool? Yeah. It's a feel good stories for freaking great if it works, but feel good stories often don't work. So we'll see. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that they get to stick together. For those who don't know, I'm a twin myself. I have a twin sister, but, which is different. You know, identical twins have this connection like the Sedins had. And, we had actually a pair of the Sonia twins here in Moncton for a bit who were good players, but, I don't mind a feel good story unless it's at the detriment of your team, and that's how some people feel about the
right
pick, right? Is that it wasn't the right time to make the pick.
I don't feel that it's, I don't look at it as a detriment in the fact that I don't think this Flames organization is going to put him in the NHL and keep him in the NHL if he's not an NHL player.
No,
exactly. And there's a long way to go.
The Hurricanes had three or four stars in the lineup. They had Mark, Eric, Jordan, and Jared. If I'm not mistaken. And Jared only played like one or two games in the league, right? Which, whatever. But it's cool they got to have that. And it's easy for us on the outside to sit there and criticize these, you know, feel good type stories. But, and again, this case, again, he's a project. I wouldn't have taken him that high necessarily, but I won't lie. I was like, cool, like when they announced it, right? So
I was too. I mean, but I was also like, oh boy. You know, I just hope this fan base like understands where he's at in his game. And
well, they're going to drill down and do their homework. That's what's going to happen. So even guys like me who were initially excited, I didn't follow Joe Begenlo that much. I knew it was his draft year, but then I started reading the reports. It's still cool, but it's not like, you know, we're not going to hang his jersey next to his father's. I certainly would expect us to, but if he carves out a good NHL career and plays a few seasons in the league, I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
Round four, pick 100. Igor Barabanov, center, Saginaw OHL, 6 foot center, and good vision.
So my buddy that scouts for the Blue Jackets, his wife texted me when they made that pick, and she said, "Great pick." And even though he's the one that works in the NHL, she knows her freaking hockey. You know, her kids are both good players. One of her sons is an excellent coach in the OHL. But for her to text me that, like for that late of a pick, like she knows stuff about the player that I don't know. Right. And start reading reports. And that was a very smart pick.
Yeah. Everything I've read on him, has been really, really good. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. 28 goals, 91 points in 68 games for Saginaw last year. He's a high cycle creator is what they describe him on Elite Prospects. So that'll be fun to see how that one progresses. Now we get a little deeper, round 532nd overall left wing from Finland in the under 20 out there. Simon Kataliki.
Closest we're going to get.
They also describe him as toolsy.
Yeah. But again, you're getting into these players that you can hear it in the analyst voice too. And in their, what they have to say about these guys, it's like good bottom six forward, good penalty killer. Like you can kind of see that unless you're taking a flyer on a super skilled player with zero work ethic, you're going to hear a lot of that type of conjecture in the later rounds.
Yeah. Big guy, 6'4.5", 191 pounds, described as a hulking winger. And something probably I still can kind of consider this organization depth wise, prospect wise a little bit undersized, so this is and that's starting to change, so that's another step in the right direction there.
Yeah, and I think apart from finding that elite center that we're still searching for, unless somebody like Cole Reshny really emerges, the Flames have kind of shifted their focus now to finding those players who are going to insulate this core better. And that's why Carson Carroll is such a smart pick for them. Again, finding a backup goaltender or a potential goaltender for the future, I should say. Like, this, it's not as exciting of a draft, but I mean, all these players that they've taken are interesting, right? And we've had a, I mean, even though we traded a couple, we've had a lot of picks and still a lot more to make in the years ahead. So,
for sure. The final pick, 164th overall in the sixth round, Brody Leland, defenseman, Tri-City, USHL. And he's described as a competitive, undersized defender. I have not seen, I watched a Tri-City game this year and I didn't notice him. So I don't know if that's good nor bad.
Typically, it's a good thing with a defenseman to a point anyway.
Yeah, but, probably. Yeah. Probably a good way to describe it.
Yeah, and from a personal point of interest, so Tommy Blyle, who I talked about in the Moncton Wildcats, was drafted in the first round by Nashville. Ryan Chudzinski, also for the Wildcats, went to Anaheim in the third round, I believe, so that's a good pick by them. Did you have any kind of personal connections this draft? We'll just throw it there briefly.
The Rucks are coming to North Dakota, so that'll be fun to watch those guys. You know, it's interesting, you know, with Bearhoff at North Dakota and now Carroll's coming to North Dakota and Reschny in North Dakota. So we have, you know, with Reschny and Carroll's two big first round picks for the Flames playing right where I am. So that's obviously really, really going to be fun, to watch their progression and, yeah, just a stacked and loaded team for North Dakota this year.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun for you to watch. I look forward to having frequent conversations about them. So there's still a lot of post-draft media to look at. You know, Conroy is obviously going to speak more about the players that they've drafted. But in terms of other Flames news, we do have quite a bit this week that we should dive into. Two big topics, and I'll let you choose where you want to start, I guess. We got the Connor Zary situation. And then we have the big trade with New Jersey. So, dealer's choice. Well,
let's talk about the trade with New Jersey.
Okay, perfect. So, Simon Nemec, who very highly regarded defenseman, kind of got, I guess, lost in the shuffle a little bit in Jersey, it would seem, behind, well, who else but Dougie Hamilton. Also with Hughes as well, actually, with Luke Hughes. So, I was a little surprised by this. I'd heard the Flames looking at him a while ago. But I really like the trade. Obviously, we have to get him signed to extension as he's an RFA. But you can tell from what he's had to say, too, he's very excited about the opportunity. But it sounds like maybe playing with Zane Parekh. But we'll see what happens in camp. But what were your thoughts on the trade?
I don't think he'll be playing with Zane Parekh right away. I think it'll take some time. He's a young 22-year-old defenseman who was, I would say, okay to pretty good in New Jersey. Didn't get a lot of opportunity there.
It was a second overall pick, too.
I mean, he was kind of pushed to the side in New Jersey, which is a little bit puzzling. I guess we'll find out more. I would say he's going to be slightly insulated this year, along with Zane Parekh. I believe he'll be also insulated this year. I think Whitecloud will probably play with Parekh and Ball probably with Nemec. We'll see. And I think that's just fine. I think that's where we need to go with it right now. And I see there's such a huge upside to this. They did give up a first rounder in 2027, a first rounder in 2028. Of course, Vegas's and Colorado's, not any of the Flames picks. In 2028, they gave a second round Rangers pick in, and they gave up on defenseman Moran. So the package slightly high. But I also think if you're going to go out and get a 22-year-old defenseman with huge upside, you're going to have to give up a little bit. And we didn't give up any of our picks. And
those picks are going to be late first round picks that we would expect anyway.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And then Etienne Morin, who again played for Moncton, and I watched him countless times. Really good defenseman, but there was no way in hell that he was going to surpass Abram Weeb, Zane Parekh, Hunter Pristevich. Like, there was just somebody had to be a casualty of the numbers game, and unfortunately it was him. But I, you know, he's a Quebecer. He may fare better back in only the Eastern part of the continent. We'll see, but may have more opportunity with Jersey. But and he kind of gets lost in the shuffle of that trade. But where I got to watch him play a lot, I just want to mention him as well as being part of that. But back to Nemec, I was actually going to say I thought for a moment he was the first Flame to ever wear 71, but I would be dead wrong in that. Yeah, and I knew you'd know the answer, right?
Walker Doerr, right?
Yeah, see, yeah, well done, well done.
I thought of it right away when I saw it. You know, I'm like, hey, that's Walker Doerr's number.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah. Was he the only other one with 71? Yeah. It might be
the only other one. Yep, yep. So anyway, so all told, a really exciting trade. Yeah,
it was a trade that completely caught me off guard.
I was in a business meeting. You text me and you're like, another right shot defenseman. I'm like, what are you talking about? I had no idea. Yeah.
I was having
a beer with a customer. Like, we were talking about some business stuff, and then my phone goes off. And we you know, for those who don't know, like, we don't speak all that frequently, like a few times a week kind of thing.
No, we talk
during the season, we text a lot more. But, So yeah, I was really surprised by that. And it really makes me wonder what they're going to do in free agency, which is only a few days away, of course. Conroy's been talking about wanting to play kids, but there's some holes in the lineup that maybe there's some supplemental pieces that would make sense, but really curious to see what they go looking for. We don't need any goaltenders. We don't need any defensemen.
I don't think we go get anybody. I think it is going to be the quietest free agency day in Flames history.
Well, and they're
you know what? It should be.
It should be, yes. And we should mention, too, with the Wranglers, so Roy Cairns and Sam Morton have both re-signed one-year kind of show-me deals. I was actually talking to the scout that drafted them. Yeah, two-way deals, 1 year, like the 550 mark or whatever it is for salary. I'm thinking years ago. I was actually texting with the scout that drafted Roy Cairns last night a little bit. Just say I was excited that, you know, he got a night before, maybe. Yeah, saying, you know, he was happy that he got another shot. And hopefully he can find a way to stick in the lineup, because I still think he's got some upside there. But point being, with free agency, I wouldn't be surprised if the Flames go after a number of players to fill out the Wranglers, because Danilo Mironov is back to Russia. Martin Frick has gone to, I think, the KHL as well. And I think there's one or two other guys that are escaping me right now. But regardless, there'll be some tweeners, some two-way deals handed out, that kind of stuff in case of injury, whatever. But I feel like there might be a forward that gets signed that we just might not even think of. But time will tell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think we're going to see any key roster spots filled with any veterans or anything like that like we're used to in the past. So I think the direction is clear. I think it continued to be clear. And we're moving forward. One last thing we're going to talk about before we let everybody get on with their weekend. Connor Zary, where are we going with this? A 20-year-old forward, 1 year left on a contract, 3.775. It was rumored all week, and with sources I totally trust, and one of them being Darren Dreger, that Calgary is looking for a second-round pick in return. I'm actually excited to hear what your response is to this. Is it the right time to move him? What do we want for him? And are we done with him?
I'm not done with him. I understand and agree with those that say he lost a step with his knee injury. I don't think he's done himself some favors. Yeah, I don't think he's done himself any favors with his play at times, but I also fully reckon I blame both parties, because Ryan Husk has buried him down the lineup a lot of the time, and I didn't always feel it was warranted.
He did.
But the problem is, like,
when we did play him, we saw nothing. We saw absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there was flashes like here and there.
A plow. He looked like he was pulling a plow all year last year.
Yeah, well, you were more critical of him than most, I felt. And I'm not criticizing you for that. I totally get it. But, I mean, I feel like you watched him very intently. I saw flashes here and there, but, I mean, he had zero skill in his line a good chunk of the time. But it's still incumbent upon the player to work his way up the lineup.
Let me ask you a question. If Connor Zary was a third-round pick, would he have been on the Flames last year?
Is a tweener. Yeah, I think so. But not with the same consistency. I don't know. I feel like the team's kind of failed him a bit. I've been very critical of Ryan Huska's coaching at times with very good reason, as many fans have. But
And I have too.
Yeah. And I'm not quite ready to throw in the towel, although I'll admit, as many have said well ahead of me, that the postseason press conference where he pretty much, he said we were all thinking, but as a player at a podium, I don't know that it's smart to say that, you know? So
he was, that was probably his, I mean, it was bang on and I agreed with it. But probably not the right timing or the right guy to be saying that.
It just shows how frustrated he is, right? And that's another reason we're going to think, well, maybe it is time to move on, which, and to answer your other question, another part of your question, rather, in terms of what I want for him, I'm not really interested in a second round pick. I would much rather take a chance on somebody else's project that, you know, they're casting off.
I agree. Second round pick, that's almost like giving him away.
Well, yeah. And it's, and I do think he's going to.
You're not going to get
a player instead, though. I'm kind of done with the draft picks at this stage, or with these players at least. So, you know, I'd be more apt to see a move for something that might work out, because I think at this point it's not likely Connor Zary is going to work out here, barring a coaching change and he feels rejuvenated. But that's rarely the case, and not likely the case in this situation. So, we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Before we get out of here, I do want to go through some of the comments that have been popping up here on the show. Flash Nuisance, hope I said that right, says first round was good, second and third round were terrible. Overreach, positional inefficiency, and a romantic pick with Aginla.
Positional inefficiency. I like that. That's creative.
Well, we picked all forwards in the second and third round. I don't know. Maybe I think we picked the right positions. I mean, gosh, you guys, you know what's so hard about these drafts? Is we literally have no idea what's going to happen. It's so up in the air. And, you know, some of the other responses we're getting here. Fubar AWOL is so many down on Joe Aginla. But he was injured this year and had a bad year. And you know what? Injuries do play a role in it. And that kind of goes back to what we're saying with Connor Zary. They do definitely have a role. And I think all that's taken into consideration. You know, I think everybody in Calgary, including myself, really want Aginla to pop. And that's one of the things when I go back and I look at Zary. You know, he's a first-round pick for this team. And so was Gridden. I believe Zary was even picked higher than Gridden. And so my Siri is answering my questions for me. Oh boy. But so anyways, I go on to for first round, you know, I sit and I look at Zary and I look at Gridden, both from first rounders. When Gridden was on the ice and we first saw him this year, he popped. Connor Zary didn't. He did a little bit, and then we saw flashes, and then he got hurt. And then we were praying he'd get back, and he just didn't come back the same. And then he kind of got there for a couple games, got hurt again. And then since then, it's really been hard. It's just really been hard for him.
Yeah, and it's tough to – I mean, and I joke about this, but, like, I have a Connor Zary T-shirt, and I had a Matthew Tkachuk T-shirt. And so he's probably on his way to town. I guess it's cheaper than a jersey, but I don't know. It is tough. And like, speaking of injuries, actually, just quick aside, do you ever watch the time that Michael Stone tore his ACL? You ever see that clip? So I think he was with the Coyotes and he got hit against Philly. That's, you know, and he was very, very good despite that at times. And that's kind of, it's a very similar injury to what Zary was dealing with. And I don't know, like, Connor Zary, it's like I don't want to cut bait because I know he's going to be like an effective 45-point player somewhere else. I say I know that, but like that's just what I have in my head about him. Maybe it's because of the first-round pedigree. Maybe it's because of his first-ever NHL shift when he just walked everybody and damn near scored. Like,
yep.
You just never want to give up on those guys, right? Because you have so much hype and pomp and circumstance.
I know.
We're going to see a conclusion to that sooner than later, I'm convinced. So we'll be talking about that some more. What I want to talk a little bit more about is what we talked about at the outset of this and prior to coming on. The draft format. I believe, and I'm going to sound like you say you sound like the old man. Well, in this case, I will, because I think the draft is for hockey purists. It's the most boring thing on the planet to watch unless you're a diehard hockey fan, right? Cool. And to go through this ridiculously. Okay, so even today, so trade alert. Last night, Mason McTavish, big trade. Totally get it. Swapping first round pick, same thing. But to have the big trade alert flash with the buzzer going when you're trading a third for a fourth.
Like, it's okay. I don't mind this. But see, the insiders have already reported about all the trades. So we already knew about them before the draft board got buzz. And it's like,
And it's like a 5 minute delay in between the two. But you throw that in there, you throw in how friggin' long these picks took. And like, and you said this, and I couldn't agree more, how cool it is to see the interaction of the scouts and the GMs, the assistant GMs like on the draft floor. Like, remember when Brian Burke told Brian Murray, when they were with the Leafs and Senators respectively, we're taking Kadri. And they had him, they had one of them was mic'd up and they caught it, and they shared that moment with everybody watching of Burke telling Murray, we're taking Kadri. Like, you know, so sorry, but we're taking him. That's the stuff that makes it engaging and interesting, the human side of it. And to have these celebrities come out, like, you know, I was talking to a Justin Bieber fan today. You know, good for her.
She's a fan.
What's that?
You found one?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's Canadian, right? So anyway, like, to her, it was cool. But to me, it's like, just even the way he couldn't even say it properly. But then even those that do say it properly, in the third round, I don't care to hear with 130 whatever pick, like, just like speed it up a little more, right? But then when they speed it up, you get the analyst talking over top of it, right?
Well, then
you're trying to hear the pick, but you can't.
Half the Flames picks today, Sportsnet was on commercial for most of them. So
there was at least two, that I'm like, what the, like.
Every time they would say Calgary on the clock, they'd go to commercial. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Have you read Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoe's book?
Yep. I did.
I got to read it again because it's hilarious. I know it's easy. I do the same thing in professional wrestling. I can't even watch anymore because I find WWE is just terrible. But with the NHL, like, we talk about the Prime broadcast trumping the Sportsnet broadcast, which is a networking thing. But then we talk about the NHL and how they do things. And now they've made the draft this performative, lame. Like, I don't care about Luke Bryan or Justin Bieber. Like, they have nothing to do with hockey. And I think, and others have disagreed, many have agreed because it's still getting likes and retweets, whatever, but it's supposed to be with the player and their family. Stop taking the shine off the player. Like, even Gavin McKenna. Like, that's his moment, not Justin Bieber's. It's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant for today.
With you.
Upcoming rants. We got to do something, because the Flames will sign a bunch of AHL guys, sign somebody to mentor their younger players. Something's going to happen on Canada Day, July 1st, free agency, wherein we'll need to have a discussion. So
we'll be here.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
We will. We'll be having some, I don't know that if, as Flames, you know, I don't know if it's going to be worth doing a live episode, maybe, because there'll be a lot of teams doing some other stuff, but
we'll fire off the show. It'll be interesting. I don't expect a ton out of Calgary. And as we go today, you know, I think all in all, a fairly good draft. Was really fun. Really fun, but really up in the air. And, you know, like, we just had a comment here when I read it. I chuckled a comment that's coming in during the live show. It says, the Flames can't draft an instant team. People need to chill. Only so many contracts. And he's right. I mean, we can't we can't draft a team and then next year we're going to be wonderful because of that. So I think it's going to be a process. I think we have some draft picks this year that I'm really excited to see how they progress. And I guess that's what we want, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be fun. It's still some pain ahead, but I mean, even the Nemec trade is a sign that we're trending in the right direction. As a secondary thing, I'll just throw this out there because I'm wearing the shirt, but the Hockey Heroes thing, they're replacing the roof on the Fourplex Arena where it's held. So next year, it's actually the second week of April instead of in June.
Oh.
Which is great for me because that means it's way sooner again, but we'll start pumping that, you know, when we get close to the new year maybe and see what's happening then.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, all told, good draft. Not as good as last year, but how could it be? And if... for those that are like upset about like maybe the Iginla pick or not getting Bjork, who I was happy to see went to Winnipeg, try to make an argument that Craig Conrad could have done a better job as GM in his 3 years thus far. And it's hard to believe it's been 3 years. And somebody pointed that out the other day, like the 3 years went quick, but he's done a damn good job. He's still doing a good job. His asset management is great. His contracts, have been really good. Like Balls, for example, Coronado, if he bounces back, will be, you know, another good one. Time will tell, but, and we can fight about Matt Coronado another day, because I already told you off last night as regards to him. But yeah, no, we're in good hands. We're in the thick of the summer madness, and we'll see what happens next.
I'm excited. It was a good day. It's a good weekend. The busyness continues. You'll hear from Kyle and I on Wednesday, Canada Day, for free agency. Then we will take a little hiatus till July 14th. You'll have another episode. Then, Flames fans, take a break after the draft. Enjoy your just a little bit of calm. Let's see how this all sifts out. We'll see how free agency goes. And I'm excited to watch a real young team next year and what should be a fun team to watch.
100%. Can't wait.
All right, Flames fans. See you later this week. Free agency.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Giroux and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.